Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made, and of course, we are to rejoice and be glad in it. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that your day has been a day of delightfulness, a day of faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that whatever you may have gone through today, whatever may have given you some grief, whatever may have given you a little bit of sadness, I pray that you looked up to the heavens and focused your mind on Jesus Christ. Well, we are going to continue with our second part of a wonderful, wonderful broadcast that we've picked up from last week. And of course, my special guest, as we know, she's no stranger to us on the broadcast, but Minister Lakeisha Richmond. She is going to continue in her spoken word. And of course, the broadcast is The Art of Spoken Word by Lakeisha Richmond. So I just hope and pray that you come with an open mind, open heart, and definitely your Bible, so that you can make notes and follow and walk along with us through Scripture as we listen to the beautiful pieces that she has written to the Lord from her heart. As we know, David did the same thing, and so many others in Scripture have written a beautiful word inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we just want to continue to follow along with Minister Lakeisha as she continues to share with us her beautiful pieces that she has penned to paper, and how we walk through Scriptures. And as she shares this, I'm going to give her an opportunity to introduce herself again and just lead us along the way in her writings. Now, as I introed on last week with The Art of Spoken Word, I want to continue to say that we are to cry out to God through your spoken word or written word. That's what we are to do. Cry out to him in prayer, spoken word. Cry out to him in written word, prayers, pen to paper. And as David did. David did this throughout the Psalms, as we've read beautiful Psalms, and one that most people have memorized is the 23rd Psalm that brings comfort and peace and refuge to our heart, as he's written so many more. And even when he was going through some tough times running from King Saul, he wrote the Psalms to bring comfort to his soul. And this is what Minister Lakeisha did for herself, and we just want her to continue to walk with us. So, Minister Lakeisha, if you could introduce yourself as we come ready and prepared to hear and walk through Scripture, but most of all, just listen to the beautiful pieces that you've written, and we are just delighted to have you in the broadcast and have you in studio again with us on today.
Thank you again, Sister Smith, for having me. It's a blessing and an honor to be a part of Blog Talk Radio Show and Mission from the Heart. I'm 44 years old. I had to think about that for a minute. When I'm 44 years old, I have two children, ages one. My daughter is 24, and my son is 23. And I'm a member of Turning Point Faith Ministries, Dr. Cassandra Scott and Pastor Roscoe Hilliard. And I would just like to say about a lot of my writings, a lot of my healing and forgiveness came through a lot of my writings. Growing up, experiencing different types of abuse, I didn't have anyone to talk to being so young. So what I did is I wrote a lot. I wrote journaled, and I also wrote poems. And I wrote them, some of them in code, to where only I can understand it. So that's how I started a lot of my writings, by just venting. And I was able to also always wrote letters to the Lord. My sister used to always mess with me about writing my letters to the Lord, but I said, y'all write letters to Santa Claus, but I write letters to the Lord. And I had faith that he would answer my prayers in my writings. So that's a little bit about me. I'm just, again, delighted to be amongst you today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And my first writing, the title is Seeking but Not Finding. That's Seeking but Not Finding. For a long time now, I have carried shame, guilt, frustration, and disappointment. I know you erased all these and more with Lent. You have given up everything for me, but yet I have not for you. In spite of, you still love me and welcome me with open arms. It is just this one thing that is here to stay. All you say is just follow my way. My focus has been distracted by the things along your path. Your path is highlighted by the blood of Jesus, and when I step off it, it leads to wrath. It is just this one thing that is here to stay. Please, Lord, take it away. You say, just follow my path. My grace is sufficient for all. You say, even with that one thing, follow my path, I have prepared you for this call. I think I am seeking but not finding. But you say, if you trust me, stay on my path, you will see my word is binding. So after all this time, I can let go of the shame, guilt, and frustration, and disappointment. You have given up everything for me and did not have to. Now it is my time to just not focus on just one thing, but to walk in this call for you. And when I wrote this piece, Seeking but Not Finding, I wrote it at a time when I was struggling with my sexuality. I had been active in church still, singing in the choir, part of the ministerial team, but I still had this secret that was eating me up, the struggle that was eating me up, that was born in my flesh. So I talked to my pastor, and he led me to Romans 12:9. About the thorn in Paul's flesh. And he said that the Lord didn't remove it, and Paul still was able to minister for the Lord. Now, although I had struggle with this thorn in my flesh, I wasn't acting on it. I just had to struggle. I had to struggling with the dreams and the ideas. So I'm going to read back through my poem, and we're going to look at some scripture. Says, seeking but not finding. For a long time now, I've carried the shame, guilt, frustration, and disappointment. And the shame and guilt and the frustration came from having this struggle, this thorn in my flesh. And the disappointment was it wasn't going away. The more and more I became active in church and thought that if I stayed active in church, it would go away, but it wasn't going away. So it says, now I know you erase all these and more with Lent. And I'm talking about at this point how Christ, God sacrificed his son on the cross for us, for our sins. And so I was giving up the fleshly desires to work in the church. So I'm trying to work in the church to rid myself of the fleshly desire that wasn't of God. So Christ, that's what he did. He went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. And he went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. So he gave up everything for us. So I felt like that I hadn't given up enough for him. So I was still trying to give up more of my time to serve him more, thinking that this thorn in the flesh would be taken away. It says, you have given up everything for me, but yet I have not for you. And if we can go to John 15 is a false scripture. He's talking about God's given ability for us. So it says in 16, reading from the New International Version, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that's what Christ gave up for us. He gave up his life that we may have eternal life if we believe in him. Amen. And then the next stanza is, "In spite of him loving me and welcoming me with open arms, it's just this one thing that is here to stay, which is I'm talking about the thorn in my flesh. So although he still loves me and welcomes me with open arms, it still bothered me that the thorn in my flesh was still there." And if we can go to St. John, 19th chapter. St. John, the 19th chapter, verses 16 to 30. St. John, the 19th chapter, verses 16 to 30. And it reads as follows. "Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified," talking about Jesus. "So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had noticed they prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one place from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who would get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.' So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here's your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here's your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit." So he gave up his life. No man took his life, but he gave it up for us, for our sins, to save us from our sins. Amen. Sister Smith, do you have anything to add right there?
Well, you know, the scripture is true in saying that he gave up his life, and that's what I love about scripture, is that no one took it from him. He gave it up. And that's what I love about your piece and how we, in what you wrote, and how we, Jesus, God gave us his son, and Jesus gave up his life, and how we are to give up the things that keep us in bondage, that keep us shackled, whether it be mental, physical, you know, even verbal, you know, speaking in a manner to where it keeps us in bondage. And so when we are willing to let go, give up, or be loosed from that, then, of course, that's when the peace of God falls upon us. That's when the grace of God just surrounds us or submerges us in love. But, yeah, that part right there that says he gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for us so that we would have access to God Almighty, you know, and through prayer and reverencing him. But thanks be to God for what he gave, you know, as his son, and then his son gives himself up for us. That just delights my soul. That just anchors my soul. It just makes me want to cleave to him even more so. But the scripture is right in saying.
Amen. And also in Luke 23:46, it says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he has said this, he breathes his last breath. So he's still there. He's given up everything for us. And I also had Psalms 1 through 18, excuse me. Psalms 22. And it's 1 through 18. And it's still talking about Jesus. Jesus sacrificing his life for us on the cross. And it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groanings. Oh, my God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am I not silent? Yet you have enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel, and you, our fathers, put their trust. They trusted and delivered, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am worn and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help me. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a posturd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. The people stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So even it's like they're mocking him on the cross, and they're taking his clothes and they're throwing them to each other for lots. And this one, when Christ was crying out to God, that was my plea to God, to remove this thorn out of my flesh. And the more I served, it seemed like the more I wanted to be gone, because I had the guilt and the shame and the frustration to be struggling with something that was not of God. And when I look at Jesus crying out to his Father on the cross, that's how I was crying out to him in a plea to God, just take this away. Just take this thorn out of my flesh. And and although it went away, I have been delivered from this thorn in my flesh, but at that time, at this time, it seems like it would never go away. That's why I say it's just this one thing that is here to stay. But thank God he delivered me. And so I don't struggle with the same struggle anymore. Amen. And another part of the Sister Smith, did you have anything to add right there before I moved on?
No, you can continue, you made a very good point with this particular psalm as a prophecy of what was to come. And of course, it correlates or parallels with what we read in the New Testament concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So that this particular psalm just solidifies with what we already know took place in the New Testament concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can continue.
Okay. The next part of the stanza goes, all you say is just follow my way. My focus has been distracted by the things along your path. Your path is highlighted by the blood of Jesus, and when I step off, it leads to wrath. It's just this one thing that is here to stay. Please, Lord, take it away. I want to talk about, a narrow path and a broad path in the Bible. If we can turn to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 13 and 14. And it talks about this path. So the broad path.
Matthew 7:13.
7:13 and 14.
Okay.
And it reads, the narrow gate. Go in through the narrow gate. The gate to destruction is wide, and the road that leads there is easy to follow. A lot of people go through that gate, but the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it. And this reminds me when I was praying and when I was writing this, it's easy to go along a path where everybody's traveling. Because it seems the popular thing to do. But when you're trying to stay on the straight and narrow path, it's going to be just a little struggle, but it's worth it in the end, because you won't be going down a road to destruction. So just because you find your path or your way in life a little harder to give up some weaknesses or to deny your flesh, it's not so hard when you're looking at eternal hell or eternal damnation. When you're looking at the narrow path and you're choosing to go down the narrow path or to give up some of those fleshly desires or those things that you struggle with, it's not so hard when you think about your reward will be eternal life if you're following Christ's path. And so, Sister Smith, do you have anything to add right here?
No. You can continue to go on with your piece.
Okay. So it says, please, Lord, take it away. You just say, follow my path. My grace is sufficient for all. And this is what my pastor was telling me. telling me about Paul with a thorn in his side. It's come from 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And he's telling me how Paul, although he went before God three times to remove this thorn, he never did remove it. And he didn't move it because then maybe Paul would have become boastful or maybe big-headed, thinking that he wouldn't need Christ for anything. So if you think about struggles in our lives at times, if we didn't have those struggles, would we not go to God? What would we do if we didn't have any struggles? How would we live our life according to what law or what rules or what morals would we follow if we didn't have any type of weaknesses or struggles? Will we not go to God to help us through these things? You have to think about that. So 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, and it reads, "Of course, I am not referring to the wonderful things I saw. One of Satan's angels was sent to me to suffer terribly so that I would not feel too proud. Three times I begged the Lord to make this suffering go away. But he replied, 'My kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak.' So if Christ keeps giving me his power, I would gladly brag about how weak I am." So could you read that in another version? This was the Contemporary English Version. Do you have another version available?
I can read it in the NIV, and it reads this way. It's in starting in verse 7. It says, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surprisingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me." Verse 8. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" And verse 10, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen.
Amen. And the key thing was say, "For Christ's sake." So not just that's when you're a child of God, when you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there are some benefits to suffering and to insults and disappointment. There are some benefits that you gain. The last part of this, the last stanzas of the poem says, "You say even with that one thing, with that one thorn in your with that thorn in your flesh, with that weakness, whatever that thing is that you're battling with, follow my path. I have prepared you for this call. I think I am seeking but not finding. But you say, if you trust me, stay on my path, you will see my word is binding. So after all this time, I can let go of the shame, guilt, frustration, and disappointment. You have given up everything for me and did not have to. Now it is my time not to focus on this one thing, but to walk in this call for you." And that takes us to Jeremiah 29:11-14. Amen. It reads in NIV, "For I know plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. So no matter where we find ourselves in life with our struggle or your thorn, and just say you have a thorn in your flesh, when you seek God with all your heart, he said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. So he will bring us back to him, but you have to seek him with all your heart and turn from that, not do whatever your weakness is, not give in to it. Amen. Sister Smith, do you have anything else to add?
No, that is spot on. I mean, the scripture in Jeremiah just solidifies what our heart condition should be concerning the Lord. It doesn't matter what our struggle is. It doesn't matter what our situation is. What matters is the heart condition that you have. And
yes,
although life can throw us some side balls or some wrong pitches or some fly balls, we may be hitting balls that fly in the air and don't make us a home run. The bottom line is that when it's all over and said and done, we look up to God, and through his strength and through his power, he leads us to first base, second base, third base, and we come in sliding into home run.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
Amen.
The kind of God we serve, a God that would bring us home. And what a rejoicing it will be, because we
Amen.
Won the game. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that the enemy can keep us locked up, shut up, bound up, or messed. The enemy has no power, no dominion over a believer in Christ Jesus. And God's
Amen.
Promises are solidifying. They are fit. They are spot on. As long as we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, continue to cleave, press in, move forward, look ahead, and look up to a God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-sufficient. And through this piece called Seeking But Not Finding, see, the enemy can have us seeking for something and not finding the very thing that we need.
Right.
And although we have thorns in the side to buffet us, to keep us from getting big-headed, to keep us from elevating ourselves, to keep from allowing ourselves to brag about ourselves or what it may be, God allows these things to continue with us so that it would humble us, so that we would focus on him for what do we need. We need his dependency, and we need his provision, and we certainly need his grace and mercy. And these are things that, these are not just things, but these are the promises of God as long as we continue to press in to him. And regardless of what it is, in our life, whatever the situation is, only you know. You are the one that knows. But it is what you do out of obedience to God and out of obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now, before we move on, Lakeisha, I just
yes.
believe that this is a perfect opportunity, again, for you to pray a prayer of salvation, because as we listen to you, and you walk us through every stanza in your piece that you've written, I don't want the listeners who may be listening to not have an opportunity to give their lives to Christ, you know, that they would come into the ark of salvation. So if you could pray a prayer of salvation for the many listeners that we have to this broadcast, that somebody would come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. So if you could do that for us, sister, that would certainly be a blessing.
Amen. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And so today, Father, we thank you for our sisters and brothers in Christ. And as I pray this prayer, if you will repeat after me, use my words with your faith. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve eternal life, but I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God, that you raised Jesus from the dead, amen, and that I am saved. I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, and I believe in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he will come back one day again to receive me unto him. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you believe that with your heart and you have confessed that with your mouth, then you are saved. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I just say hallelujah, praise the Lord. And for those who've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a day of rejoicing. The angels sing and they rejoice in heaven because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And for the brothers and sisters who bowed heads together and touch and agree with us, I pray and hope that you've lifted somebody up in your circle of influence that you know needs Jesus Christ in their life, that you've been praying for a long time for that brother or sister or that young man or young lady to come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sin. Don't give up praying for them. Please do not give up praying for them, and that they will one day, come to know Jesus Christ as their intimate Father, that they would one day say, Jesus, here I am. I surrender it all to you. And so for those who've accepted, I pray that you would get into a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion, that you would be surround yourself in a small group Bible study or Sunday school at church, so that you would be discipled in a manner to where you would go out into this big vineyard and work, that you would bring someone to Jesus Christ and tell somebody about your testimony, that they would someday come to know Jesus Christ just as you have. And so we want to continue to read on and go to your next piece, Minister Lakeisha, if we can.
Okay. The next piece is called Choices, like the choice you just made to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is a wonderful thing. So the name of this is Choices. I wrote this piece after hearing a sermon that was entitled The Dangerous Gift by Pastor S.D. Washington. And she talked about it as being having a right to choose, and some people... it's said to be a dangerous gift because sometimes we don't always make the right choices, and some of the choices that we make lead us down that broad path, which is leading us to destruction. So it's called Choices. There will always be a cause and effect, whether it be good or bad. I have heard this word being described or talked about as the dangerous gift by my pastor, in which I agree. Some people are not pros at this. This word represents freedom to choose, not an obligation to both sides, one or the other, not both. Life or death, heaven or hell, right or wrong, not in-betweens or halfway theirs, just one or the other, land or water, sky or earth, top or bottom, left or right, and so on, choices. So you see that the choices, some choices that we make, choices, they lead us to our destiny. So one choice can determine whether or not we'll spend our lives in eternity, which is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that guarantees you a life and spent in heaven, eternity in heaven. And also, or if you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that determines that we will spend our life in hell if we don't accept him as Lord and Savior. Now, the first scripture I have comes from Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. It's talking about choosing life over death. It says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and I, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Do you have another version, Sister Smith?
Let's see. I do.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 30.
And yes,
verses
19 and 20.
Yes. This is in the New Living Translation. And I tell you, it pays to have different translations in your library because you can get a deeper understanding of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will just continue to broaden or open your eyes and plant a little more wisdom into your heart and mind for things to just pop out and for the small, still voice of God to just walk you through the Scriptures, I mean, hand in hand, verse by verse, word by word. And so having different translations in your library is a good thing, because when you can read one and say you don't have a real good understanding of that particular verse as you've read it, you can read a different one to help you along the way. So I encourage you to do that, or get a parallel Bible that has maybe three or four different translations. And it really helps me in my study and my walk through understanding the Word of God. So we're going to read. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And it reads this way, verse 19. Jacob, it says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live." Verse 20, "Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Wow.
That's an awesome, awesome word.
Amen.
That's choosing life over death. I have another scripture, Romans 6 and 23, that I'm going to start at the 19th verse. It says, "I am using these everyday examples because in some ways you are still weak. You used to let the different parts of your body be slaves of your evil thoughts. But now you must make every part of your body serve God," still talking about choices, "so that you will belong completely to him. When you were slaves of sin, you didn't have to please God. But what good did you receive from the things you did? All you have to show for them is your shame, and they lead to death. Now you have been set free from sin, and you are God's slave. This will make you holy and will lead you to eternal life. Verse 23, sin pays off with death, but God's gift is eternal life given by Jesus Christ our Lord." And it reads in a different version. You want to read a different version, Sister Smith, from 19 to 23?
Yeah, 19 to 23. And this I'll read in, and I'm going to read this Romans 6, 19 to 23 in the Amplified Translation.
Okay.
And it reads this way. "I am speaking in familiar human terms. because of your natural limitations, your spiritual immaturity. For just as you presented your body or bodily members as slaves to impurity and to moral lawlessness, leading to further lawlessness, so now offer your members, your abilities, your talents as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification, that is, being set apart for God's purpose. When you were slaves in sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You had no desire to conform to God's will. So what benefit did you get at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? None. For the outcome of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become willing slaves to God, you have your benefit resulting in sanctification, being made holy and set apart for God's purpose, and the outcome of this is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that is, his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're still talking about choices, and we just, choices. I made it pretty simple by saying right or wrong, heaven or hell, life or death. But ultimately, it's a heavy choice. It is a dangerous gift because we have to choose one or the other. Every day in our life, we choose what we're going to wear, what type of shoes we're going to put on, depending on the weather, if we need an umbrella or a coat. There are choices that we make every day. There's choices how we choose to treat people based on how they treat us. There's a choice that we have to make there. It's a dangerous gift when it comes to when you think about making the wrong choice. Even when we choose today, like going to buy a phone, what type of phone do I buy? Okay, that depends on how much I want to pay. So it's a choice, and we have to make these choices every day of our life. The important thing is if we ask God, it says, any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So if we don't know, if we have a record of not making great choices, learning to pray and seek God before we make a choice, that would be an ideal thing to do. Another scripture that I have is Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Well, I have 13 through 26. I have 13.
Okay.
So I'll start at 13. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. All that the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. But if you keep attacking each other like wild animals, you had better watch out or you would destroy yourselves. It says God's spirit in our own desires. Verse 16, if you are guided by the spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. But if you obey the Spirit, the law of Moses has no control over you. People's desires make them give into immoral ways, guilty thoughts, and shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. People become jealous, angry, and selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they are envious. They get drunk, carry on wild parties, and do other evil things as well. I told you before, and I am telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. But don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. And Sister Smith, do you have you want to read from another translation?
Yeah, let's hear how it's worded in the Amplified Translation, which is one that I truly love. But we're going to start with verse 13, and it reads this way. For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. 15. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. 17. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. 18. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, disputes, dissensions, fractions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things are against such things there is no law. Amen.
Amen. So we see that there are, we can see the comparison of the fruit of the Spirit and those, and following the, living a life after the Spirit and living a life after selfish desires. So that's a choice. There's still a choice. Which one do we choose to follow, the Spirit of God or our selfish desires? So those selfish desires seem like they would lead to a path of destruction. And there's another scripture, Revelation 3:15-16, and it's still talking about choices. It says, I know everything you have done, and you are not cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spit you out of my mouth. It says, you claim to be rich and successful and to have everything you need, but you don't know how bad off you are. You are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And I went a verse further down. But even God is telling us he wants us to be one or the other. He wants us to be either hot or cold. He says if we're lukewarm, he'll spit us out of his mouth. And it's just a, what you call it, a figurative speech, Sister Smith, but he's saying either be one or the other, either hot or cold. Because if you lukewarm, it seems like it would upset his stomach. You say he would spew you out. It's not a good thing to be lukewarm. And did you have anything to add to that?
No, I think the scriptures are very clear. God is a God who wants us to make a choice. He gave us free will to choose. And
yes.
He's very clear on saying you make a choice. You have the free will to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah, accept him as Lord and Savior, accept him as the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can get to the Father but by him. So you can choose to accept that, or you can choose to reject that. But you can't straddle a fence. You can't stay in a lukewarm environment. You have to be either hot or cold, according to Scripture, according to God's Word. So I have made a choice to say yes to Jesus Christ. Minister Letitia has made a choice to say yes to Jesus Christ in spite of a thorn in the flesh. Now, this is the kind of let your yes be yes and your no be no, because sometimes those circumstances or those feelings that don't feel as comfortable or some of those wrong choices that hold us in bondage will have us saying no to God for a mighty long time. And so when we can make a choice according to Scripture that you choose Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, or you reject him, then the consequences of your choices are what they are. Scripture does not give any gray area about that also. It's either life or death. And so as you explained, Lakeisha, every day is a choice. We either choose to wake up and get out of bed, or we choose to stay in bed. And so you still have to make a choice regardless of age. But the right choice is the way of the Lord. The God choice is that we be fruitful in our having the fruit of the Spirit, that we possess the fruit of the Spirit, that we have and accept the Holy Spirit as our salvation, that our light so shine before men so that when we as believers in Christ Jesus go out into the world, that they would see something different about you, because, again, this world is not our home, but while we're here, we continue to shine bright and we become fruitful, that the love of Jesus or the love of the Lord will shine bright for others to receive or want to know what brings us or what causes us to have this exuberating joy, what has us to act different from the world, what causes us to see life in a different perspective through different bifocals, if you will. This joy that we have, the world can't take it away. It's a joy that is infectious. It can be if we let it. But we have to know how to allow the Holy Spirit to move and work through us so that others can see a God that is so big that nothing can contain him. And these are, again, choices that we make, We either say yes or we say no. But some people want to straddle the fence. They want to hold on to the skirt tail, if you will, or just enough to be blessed. And then they want to go right back to that worldly living or that worldly way of thinking, but just straddle enough of the fence to be able to receive a blessing. And then on the other side of the fence, they desire to satisfy that flesh. And we read that in Galatians, nice and pretty.
Yes.
So, but I love what it says in Revelation. You're either hot or you're either cold. Can't get any simpler than that. Lukewarm is in between, and that is the biggest no-no. So, amen.
I have two more scriptures. James 1, 2-8, and it's talking about faith and wisdom. And it says, my friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. You must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything. If any of you need wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. God is generous and won't correct you for asking. But when you ask for something, you must have faith and not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like an ocean wave tossed around in a storm. If you are that kind of person, you can't make up your mind, and you surely can't be trusted. So don't expect the Lord to give you anything at all. Amen. And it's talking about another version, it speaks of being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the last scripture was Joshua 24, 14 through 18. Joshua 24, 14 through 18. And it reads, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers. Worship beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, for be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Amen. Did you have anything else to add to this one?
No, I think this solidifies, I think these scriptures, these verses in these passages solidify everything concerning your peace that we are to do. I love the way choices can be a dangerous gift. And I do like the way that works, because our choices can be dangerous to us in a wrongful manner, and it can be good to us. Sometimes we don't know what kind of a gift it is in a certain degree that it can be something that can cause us wrath or consequences that can be very, 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 how can I say, that can be consequences that we won't like. I'll keep it simple in that respect. Consequences that we just don't like the way we ended up or how they feel or what they bring about. But our choices can be a gift to where we can receive praises and blessings that are too much for us to contain. And scriptures, of course, tell us that they can become good. They can come to a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, I'm just grateful for walking through the pages of the Bible and looking at how your pieces that you've written and how they just run alongside Scripture and how you've allowed Scripture to just illuminate and bring more light, shed more truth, and bring about more faith in our lives concerning your real testimonies and where you were in different places in your life and how you've allowed your writings to just become a heart language to God, and how you're allowing them to be shared on the broadcast and just bathing it in Scripture, bathing it in Scripture and walking hand in hand back and forth with us through your pieces. So so forever grateful. Now, I know, Minister Lakeisha, you have one other, and we will pick that up on next broadcast. And
okay.
I know all of them are just as beautiful, and they are wonderful pieces. And that last one was going to be, what was the title of that particular one?
Love.
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 Amen.
Yes.
And because we ran out of time on today, we will pick that one up on next broadcast. So as you know, we always, in this broadcast, saying the grass withers and the flowers, oh, yeah, they do fade away. But the Word of God, as we've read today, and as Minister Lakeisha has shared her writings, and we know that it will last forever and ever and ever. So I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to this broadcast, and thank you for being a faithful brother and sister in Christ to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Never go back on His word. Always cleave to Him. Grab a hold of Him. Press into Him, because He will bring us through every valley low, and He will bless us on every mountain high. For He is the guide. He is the shepherd. Always remember, walk where He leads and eat where He feeds. God bless you, and thank you again for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio.